All right. Hi, Linda. How are you today?
I am wonderful. Yay.
I'm so happy to be talking to you. And I am also excited that we have this chance to chat with each other. So funnily, I'll tell the backstory. Yolinda actually slid into my DM and we wanted to do a live with each other. Just about, you know, the journey of pole and sexuality and how important pole has been on for both of us. So today is a little bit different. She's going to ask me questions and I'm going to ask you questions and we'll just kind of bounce off each other. No one really ever like interviews me on my podcast. So I'm here for it. I'm told I can talk about pole dancing and sex all day long. So, yeah. So Yolinda is a clinical counselor and a sex therapist. And I just have to ask, because this is the question that I ask every woman that comes on my show, is how did you become the woman that you are today? I'm so excited to hear this.
Ooh, that's a loaded question. Like, what the hell? Okay, I'm not the woman that I am today. It's been an interesting journey. It's been a lot of twists and turns. I've always wanted to help people. Like, you know, that generic, like, I just want to help people.
Right.
But what it required was for me to learn how to begin to help myself. Like, what does that look like? You know, and this whole idea of helping people become more self-aware and all of that, from your sexuality to your spirituality, required me to first do the same. So it's been a journey of me learning me what I like, what I don't like. And by doing that, by proxy, I'm able to help other people do the same. And that includes pole, you know, me really getting in touch with my femininity and sexuality. That's how I got to pole. So it's been interesting.
So you just said one day, like, I want to be a sex therapist.
No, ma'am.
I was like, please, because sex therapist is not an old, it's fairly new.
Yes.
To clinically call yourself a sex therapist is like the past, what, like 25 years?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. Well, it's funny because since 5 years old, I wanted to be a cardiac pediatrician. I wanted to help little babies with their heart. Like, that's what I wanted to do. So I did that. Like, I was a super nerd. I had like a skeleton on my door. I was reading medical books. I was a super nerd with a cape. But then I did that for years. And then I got to college. I was a pre-med bio and English double major. And then my school was like, you just average. Like, why are you even trying to do this? You know, like, I had one of my professors pull me to the side and was like, what are you doing? You know, so racism is what I dealt with. And I allowed it to shift me. You know, I was like, well, maybe I'm not good enough. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this.
Wow.
And so I switched to philosophy. And my brother's like, what the hell are you going to do for the philosophy major?
I'm
like,
right. The voice of reason.
Exactly. So then I was like, okay, I took a couple of psychology classes because I was just interested. And they were pretty easy. So I'm like, okay, this is cool. So I switched to psych. And then I also did criminal justice because a lot of the classes overlapped.
Right.
So that's how I got into psych and criminal justice. I actually wanted to be a teacher and I was like, ooh, teaching. Ooh, like, I don't think I'm gonna last long. I'll probably lose my job because this ain't gonna work.
These kids.
Yes. But I became a guidance counselor for high school, which was fun.
Okay.
I did that. And then I went into private practice after 8 years because CPS fired everybody, well, laid everybody off. And so I found myself out here with no job, with three kids. And it's like, ooh, okay. So what are we going to make this do?
Right.
But universe has an interesting way of pushing you towards what you want, but what you might fear most.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, I know you know that journey, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, I always wanted my own practice. And so life would happen. I found a practice that was not very melanated. They was looking for some melanated people. And that's how I got my introduction to counseling. While I was a private practice counselor, 98% had dealt with some form of sexual abuse.
Got it.
98%. Men and women.
Wow.
Old and young. Had dealt with some form of sexual abuse. And that's how I got into sex therapy, because I'm like, what do I need to do to beef myself up and my skills up so that I can create a more safe space? Because, and me being one of them, you know, I've dealt with my own itch, right? So it's like, this is so prevalent, but we don't talk about it. We don't deal with it.
Talk about
it. And that's how I first got into sex therapy.
Wow. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So can you say what would be, because I know that, you know, sexual abuse happens, but what would you say is your go-to, or how do you start to help and heal your patients?
Well, first thing, they have to be comfortable enough even to tell you that it happened, right? Right.
That's the ticker right there, is so many people are holding on to this secret because they feel like it's their fault. There's so many things that, mm-hmm. yeah. So kudos to just stepping in the door and saying it.
Yes, wow. Exactly. And what I've noticed is that even as therapists, there's so much judgment, right? Like, even if we don't think we judgy, you know, right. There's been so much judgment. So what I've been able, and I've been gifted with, and I'm grateful for it, is being able to create a space where people know they won't be judged, you know?
Okay.
And it don't always happen quickly. Sometimes it takes 6 months or whatever for people finally to be like, you know what? I've been holding on to this. I trust you. I feel safe with you. This has happened. Mm. And we go from there.
Got it. Wow. Wow. So would you say that, you know, once the trauma is there, or have you seen an experience that people have a really hard time being able to connect to their own bodies because they may have felt like someone else had a piece of that? Like, what happens there?
Oftentimes it's like, it's typically, this is typical, but not always, is either hypo or hyper. Right. It's like either oh, don't touch me. I don't feel safe in my body, so I don't want anyone else to touch it. Or let's get it cracked, you know, because I've been conditioned to use my body as a tool. So that's when I feel like I have some form of worth, is when my body is being utilized in this way. Because when I was special, quote unquote, right? Like, that might have been a message I was got. Oh, you're so special. Let me do this to you.
Right.
And so we make that connection. Or it could be others who, like I said, they just feel so unsafe and they probably blame their body. They might start to abuse their body with all types of things, food and whatever else, and they've become disconnected from it. So that's usually the two poles, you know, either undersex or oversex.
Got you. Wow. So here you are, sex therapist, mm-hmm. and you decided to try pole dancing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What prompted this?
So it's a couple of different things with this, because I've experienced my own sexual trauma. And mm-hmm. so what that looked like for me was, I used to tell people I pimped my body. Like, I pimped my sexuality. I'll say that, because I wasn't hypersexual, but I was a really big tease. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm gonna wear the titty tops and I'm gonna do all this and I'm gonna be cute.
Same. That was me.
You know?
College, high school, yes.
That part, it's like, I want to be desired, because that's when I felt most worthy.
Right, right.
Right. But then it became this isn't fun. It was another way of being disconnected from the body.
Hmm.
And as I got older, because I've had 3 kids and everything else, as I've gotten older, I've always had this weird relationship with my body where it was like this love-hate situation.
Yeah.
You know? I've had the eating disorders and all of that. That can be something we can talk about a little bit too. But so I wanted to love my body. I wanted to appreciate her. I wanted to be like, girl, you look at you climbing that motherfucker. Like, you
know, right, right.
And I actually started with twerk classes. That's how I started, because
yes.
They didn't have pole at that class. I'm like, well, I'm just gonna start doing this. And they had the little routines, and that was cool. But I also lift weights. So I wanted something that was going to challenge me, that also was going to allow me to, it's like that blend of, quote unquote, the masculinity with the strength, but the femininity with the movement.
Right.
And
okay.
I'm like, well, let me try. Let me just try it out. And I've been doing it for a year and a half.
I love it. Because I think that, like, once women have had kids and they get into this rhythm and we get older, we are afraid, or we're like, ah, that's not for me. But I love that your spirit took you to that, because I wish it would happen to more women, and especially more women of color, because yes. we still hold the stigma that pole dancing is this or that. And you know all the things. But exactly. I want to go back to what you said about feeling that, like, being the tease and then being like, this shit just ain't it, because that was me and mostly college, because mm-hmm. high school, I went to like an all white school, and mm-hmm. you know, I wasn't like seen, you know. And then in college, it was like, oh my God, oh, he's Black. Oh, he's cute. Oh my God. Oh my God. What am I? Okay. I was like, I have a roster that I want to run through, and yes, mm-hmm. all of you, hello. Mm-hmm. And then it did, by the end of college, I was like, what the hell? What was this all for? And like, why? And now I look at my titties, I'm like, oh, these things are so big and they're just in my way and this and that. But you know, right, you gotta tuck them and move them and shift them to the side, and one nipple is facing down and one is up, and you're just like, what is happening with my titties right now?
Oh my God, yes.
But it's true that pole dancing helped me reclaim my body for myself.
Yes.
And it was when I felt sexy, because I actually would look at myself and say, wow, you're sexy. It wasn't someone else feeding my ego and telling me that I look good, or feeding my ego and telling me that I have nice titties, or, you know. So I love that you did it, but I also can attest to that like is the first time that I saw myself.
Yes.
And even, you know, being in the dance world, and I've talked about this before on the podcast, of, you know, being a commercial dancer and being in that space and always having, because I moved to New York City right after college. Mm-hmm. And I was auditioning and, you know, doing that and taking 10 classes a day at Broadway Dance Center and auditioning for this person. And, oh my God, you have to be here and you have to do this. And this person's looking for long hair. So I would run out and go get a weave. And then it's just like, mm-hmm. yeah. So I did all those things. And it was like, I'm dancing because I love dancing, but I'm still mm-hmm. trying to like impress people that will never look at me, or impress mm-hmm. people that want nothing to do with me. And like, so even being in that dance field still felt like mm-hmm. my body wasn't mine, and I had to change things, and I had to lose weight to be in this show, and I had to do this because this dancer is looking for someone that's 5'5" and you're only 5'1" and mm-hmm. and pole was really like, you could be whatever the hell you want to be.
That part.
You could be whatever size you want to be. You mm-hmm. can look how you want to look. We don't care that one titty is facing up and one is down. Like, we don't care. And that's when I truly started to find myself and exude my sexuality for me.
That part for you. I love that so much.
Yeah. So sex is like, so it's still taboo.
Mm-hmm.
It's still like this hush hush secret, when it's like, all of us were here. All of us got here because of this. So we shouldn't
even exactly. talk
about it. But do you find that there's like a shift now with women, and even women of color, and I actually have two questions, that we're starting to open up more about our sexuality, and we're starting to, you know, say, I'm okay being sexy. I feel sexy. I look this way. I love my body. I can masturbate. I don't want to be monogamous, but I might like this person and might do this. Do you find that there is a shift going on?
I find that there's more conversation happening about it, which alludes to a shift, right?
Okay.
It alludes to a shift, which is funny because I don't know if you knew that I'm a kink conscious sex therapist, meaning I didn't went to the places, the dungeons and all of the things or whatever.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. And one of the reasons, so when I became a sex therapist, right now I'm getting my doctorate in clinical sexology. But
come on now, doctorate.
Black folks.
Okay? Come on.
And the reason why is because we don't talk about it. I mean, we know some kinky Black folks out here. We know they're kinky as heck, but they don't want to talk about it. There's been no safe space, and we haven't been provided with the safe space. I mean, there's so much distortion when it comes to sexuality, when it comes to Black men and women, for various reasons, going back to slavery and all that BS.
Right.
And so when I studied it, I went to San Francisco, went to the dungeons and whatever else. I'm like, it's real vanilla here. Like,
right.
It ain't none of us
right.
here, you know? And so I wanted to create a safe space for us to just simply begin to have the conversation, where there is no judgment, where people can embrace themselves in totality And so what I'm noticing is that there's more willingness to have the conversation, but I feel like people are still kind of like, what if they judge me? What if they gonna say something? What happens? People are still afraid to be themselves out loud.
Especially Black women.
Especially Black
women. Yeah. And do you think that some of it is the trauma? And do you think that some of it is like, I'm so tired of being hypersexualized by white people?
Mm-hmm. By white people funneled through. You already know where I'm going with this. White people funnel through the media, right? And yeah, I think we are tired of it. And it is difficult to snatch your sexual autonomy back when everyone is trying to tell you what it is.
Yes, yes. It's hard because everyone has told us for so long what we are sexually. Mm-hmm. And it's like, maybe I'm not like that. Maybe I don't want you to slap your dick across my forehead. Maybe I just want you to cuddle with me. Girl. You know, it's like, I actually don't hypersexualize me. I'm not this. I don't want to whip you. I don't want to role play. Like, maybe it's not that. And then maybe it is, but you're not actually, like, social media and the world is not giving Black women the space to let us figure it out.
Exactly. Exactly. I put a post up on Instagram a while ago talking about asexuality. Maybe I won't do none of that shit, period. Maybe I don't like dick or pussy or any of it.
Like, maybe I don't like any of it.
Any of it. Okay? It grosses me out. Please don't.
That is true. That's so, so true. And oh, God. Yeah, it's so true. But so creating this space for us, it's so needed. And I love being able to have women on the show, Black women, women of color that are all about like creating a space for us. And so like, would you ever like do like a like sexuality like retreat?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's so funny you mentioned that. Like I have a friend, she's like, when we gonna do this? Where we going? I'm like, girl, hold on, slow down. She ready. Oh. I'm like, yes. And I wanted to run the gamut. Like for people who just want to have intellectual conversations, because that gets them off. To people who want to do all of the things. You know what I mean? I wanted to run the whole spectrum of what it means to own your sexuality, whatever it is.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. I love it. So first of all, I love that your business is called Heal on Purpose, because it's not something that people go out of their way to do. It's not something that people take the time to do, and they're not intentional in making an effort on doing that. How did you come up with this name?
Oh, well, it's so funny because I've gone through a couple of different names. First it was Solid as a Rock, was off of my married name, which I don't use no more. So that's a whole different conversation.
Got it.
So I have two. It's Mind Your Mental and it's Heal on Purpose. And it's for Heal on Purpose is exactly for why you said it, because we're not intentional. Like people go out here, it's like, I have all the crystals and the tarot cards and everything else, but it's like, are you intentionally utilizing these tools to actually help you do the shit you need to do to align with the life you want? It's like people are playing at spirituality or playing at healing, they're playing at it.
Oh my God. So much and so much on social media. Sometimes it sends me when this is going to be so mean. This sounds so mean. I'm just speaking my truth. It like sends me through a wall when people record themselves like crying and having like, and it's like, you had to set up the camera to cry. So are you intentional about the crying, or are you intentional about the camera setting up and making sure that it's at the right angle? It like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it always gets so much traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It always gets so much traffic.
And then it's like, why though? Like, are we as the audience, are we attracted to the spectacle?
I don't know. What you is know? It, what are, why are we attracted to watching someone cry?
You think, I mean, if you think about all of the shit that's popular now, Real Housewives of ABCDFG, you know, We like drama. We like toxicity because it's inter quote unquote taining because it distracts from our own BS.
Right. Right. That is very, you know, true. That's so true. So do you find that it's hard to actually really get people to heal on purpose?
Oh yeah, it's hard as hell, especially when we're dealing with our people. And I'm gonna be real raw here. There's been many times I was like, you know what? I love my Black people. However, the money is like, you know what I mean? It's like, your white folks will go quick. Like, okay, I'm like, no, let me focus on my people.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard, but it's so rewarding because I have this collective called the Healing Purpose Collective, and it's about 20 Black women working together to collectively heal. And it gets real raw, like it gets really raw. And I'm so grateful that the people who were ready, they said yes to themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And I have to get out of my ego and be like, you know what, you know, it ain't about you and the numbers and this, that, and the other. You are here to show up, and those who are ready to do the work will also show. So just keep being visible. And it's not easy.
It's not easy. And it's so heavy when you carry it and you don't want to like let it go. Mm-hmm. So heavy to carry it. And I think that we, you know, I even like looking at our parents and like sometimes my mom, I'm like, I feel like if you just said like three sentences. Because I can see it in you and I can see that, you know, it's still unmarked territory that we don't talk about. But I'm the person that's like, Mom, let's actually talk about this. Like, let's talk about these things. And I remember my parents, I'm like spilling my family's tea. But I remember my mom and my aunt, they were so beside themselves because they were like cleaning out, you know, the closet, and it had marriage certificates from my grandparents and like all that stuff. And they were looking through it. And my aunt was like, wait a second, this says mama and daddy got married in so-and-so and so-and-so. And she goes, well, I was born before that. Uh-huh. And then my mom like looked at it and was like, oh, well, shit. Well, this was before I was like, I was born before they got married too. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, why didn't they tell you guys? Why are you just now seeing this and holding on to this, thinking that your parents were this perfect, you know, this, and they never talked about that. Because I don't know if my grandmother was ashamed that she had babies before she got married. I don't, you know, I don't know. And it's just like the generation, it keeps going, but I feel like I feel like some of us are starting to be like, Mom, it's all right. Maybe they was just out here living their best lives.
Exactly.
Because they probably were. Mm-hmm. So like, why are we holding on to this? Why are y'all so beside yourself that grandma and grandpa were not married when they had you? I'm not married. I had a baby and my mom still be acting like she mad at me. I'm like, girl, get over it. He's here.
Right.
Will we get married tomorrow? Probably not. Maybe next year. I don't know. Some days I'm like, yes. Some days I'm like, hell no. So it's like, yeah.
I did it right and got married and had the kids. That still didn't work out. So I mean, 10 years ago, and I was like, you know, this ain't working for me.
This ain't it. Wow. So I know you wanted to ask me some things, and we can just give me the things.
Okay, so you said that, let's go back to where we were talking about the teasing and everything else. And so how did your shift happen? Like, what did that look like? When you said, you know what, this shit is old, I'm tired, I don't want to do this anymore. How did that look in real life?
I realized that like being a tease wasn't getting me a like solid relationship. Mm. I had a lot of like fuck boys. Because at the end of the day, I probably was a fuck girl.
Me too.
Oh, I can't place the blame on them if I was after the same shit that they were after. And then, moving to New York got me out of that, the college bubble to be able to see that the world is different. And, you know, I'm from Ohio. I went to Ohio State, which was a shock for me. And then moving to New York City was a bigger shock to me. And then finding people, I had my like core friends in college and stuff who I'm still really close to, but then finding another family and them like speaking to me and saying like, you're so easy to love. Like you're so valuable. Like, oh my God, you're such a great. And I would be like, oh my God, like, shut up. Like, stop saying this, because it was hard for me because I didn't, besides my parents, but I didn't have, and it would be male friends too. Mm. So I really started having genuine bonds with like men mm-hmm. who cared about me and saw me more than being a fuck girl. mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I think that was a shift for me. And we had some, you know, some real conversations, and thankfully I was able to have those conversations at like 23, 24, when I know a lot of people don't even have them until they might not ever have them, where they can actually have people like pour into them. So I'm grateful that I was able to find friends to switch my mindset of how I viewed myself. And then mm-hmm. pole dancing was the other thing that really helped me be able to say, you are sexy because mm-hmm. you are sexy, because you see the sexiness. You're not trying. I think I've maybe pole danced for my partner twice, mm-hmm. like to give you a show, because it's mine.
Exactly.
Like, I don't want to, you know, mm-hmm. and now it's not exciting anymore. mm-hmm. It's not exciting anymore to him. It's not exciting mm-hmm. anymore to me, but yeah, I really started pulling for me. Mm. Yeah.
I love that. So one other question, because I know for me, as I relate to my body, as it's age, matured, kids, all of that, it's been interesting. So how has your relationship with your body shifted? Milestones.
God, I love my body in the heart of pole dancing, and in the, you know, I felt so strong when I was competing and traveling and all of that stuff. I love my body, but then there would always be like, oh, like your belly is a little too this or like whatever. Then getting pregnant was really the first time that I actually liked my stomach.
Hmm. I love that.
The first time that I ever like really, really like embraced my stomach. And then afterwards, it has been a hell of a roller coaster after having a baby and trying to get back into pole dancing and see, like, I remember my best friend, she was like, oh, you have mom hips now. And I was like, and now all I see is like mom hips. But it's been hard. And it's been a lot of me trying to be patient with myself, mm-hmm. because, you know, 37 doesn't look like 27 for my body, mm-hmm. and accepting that. And also knowing that there's a season for everything. My season when I was a beast mode pole dancer and like killing it and traveling and doing all that stuff, that's not my season right now. And I'm okay with that, because I know that my season is being a mother to this little boy. And when he tells me that my belly is squishy, I'm just like, you're right. You are right. It is squishy. uh-huh. Yeah. So it's been hard, though. It's been hard. It's been hard.
Whew. Yes. And so then I'll return it back to you after this one. So being a businesswoman, mm-hmm. in partnership with a kid, you know, woman of color, being a BIPOC, how has that been as someone who's also newish in the business since, you know, been doing this by myself for about 3 years now? How has that journey been?
Oh my God, I'm so damn tired.
That's hard. Oh my God. Yes, ma'am. Like, can I go to Walmart and get a job? I agree, people.
Last Christmas, mm-hmm. I literally did the little Scantron on the door at Target to be like, apply here. Cause I was like, I was ready to say fuck it. I was last Christmas. I was ready to say fuck it all.
Yes.
And just work at Target. I legit scanned the thing and was looking through the application. I was like, damn, y'all have a lot of questions. Can I just have, I just want to work it. I got to answer. And then I was like, I was thrown off because I'm like, this is detailed. I might as well just go back home and work. like my, on my own business. Like, oh my God. I dead ass.
Mm-hmm.
Have my phone and scan that thing. Yeah, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no such thing as balance.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist. I hate that fucking word. Balance is a bunch of bullshit.
Because some days I'm I give 100% to being a mom,
mm-hmm.
and I give 5% to owning a business.
Mm-hmm.
Some days I'm a shitty mom and he watches like 17 episodes of Cocomelon so that I can finish these emails. But I have learned how to set up strong boundaries.
Mm.
Boundaries are so important. So like, I don't even look at emails Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
I just won't do it because that's my family time.
Yes.
And I won't, there's just certain things that I know that I have to do for my mental and for myself to be able to still be somewhat sane. Although last week I was like, I think I'm on the verge of like a mental breakdown because, oh my God. And I think that it was being sick, mm-hmm. and then being sick again, mm-hmm. and being just exhausted and knowing that this year was going to be a tough year because I'm still trying to make up from like COVID. So canceled retreats, making up for all of that. So I knew that this year, every month I'm traveling somewhere.
Mm.
I knew that was going to happen, but my body, 37 Delijah is different from 27 Delijah.
Yes.
I had to be more realistic with what I can actually do.
That part. And I'm glad you said that balance doesn't exist, because that used to irritate the hell out of me. Like, you can be intentional, right? Like, I'm going to intentionally focus on my baby today.
Yes.
Everything else,
it balance, doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the part, like being for real intentional and saying, like, when we're at the park, we're at the park. Leave your phone in the car,
mm-hmm.
and leave it phone in the car. And I saw something the other day that it was like, when you're taking a shit, just take a shit. Don't bring your phone. Like, don't do this. Don't clip your nails. Don't like, just take the shit. When you're eating your food, just eat your food. Don't turn on the TV. And it was like, that, because I'll be like, oh, I can answer this email when I'm going to take a shit. Why?
Exactly.
So being more being intentional about the things and knowing that less is more for me.
That part.
But the less is more now, because I've worked so hard for so long that I've built a team for Black people. So that, and delegating and being okay with it. Because I know a lot of people will be like, oh, I have an assistant, but I like check all of her work and I do all of this. And it's like, so why do I trust her fully?
Yes.
And she's like, hey, I left this email in the draft if you want to take a look at it. I'm like, no,
that's just beautiful.
Just let it, and I think that's a good, really. My thing is, it doesn't have to be perfect. It has to be done.
That part.
It's never going to be perfect with me. It's never going to be perfect with me.
How refreshing, though, to get to that point.
I've always been like that, though.
Oh, so that's beautiful.
I was a very average student. I was a very like C, sometimes B student, because I just didn't care. I care about the things that I care about, and school was not one. So yeah, I was never, even with like my pole routines and like competitions, I'd be like, well, I don't have the ending for this, but.
We'll make it do what it do.
Make it do what it do. Yeah. So I think I've always just had that, like, as long as it gets done, don't check the work. Just check the answer.
I love that. That is so freeing. I'm learning to become that, because I was such a, I won't even say I'm a recovering control freak, because I still got issues, but I'm working on it.
Got it.
I'm working on it. Yes. Not yes. It. Oh man, this is wonderful. I love this. So motherhood. Let's get to it.
Man. Children are freaking crazy. Like, people, only mothers shake their head yes when I say this, because other people are like, how would you call your child crazy? I'm like, because they're insane.
And they could be little assholes.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It's cool. It's cool. Being a mom is pretty cool. I feel like I've joined the cool, like the cool club. And I, again, doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
But I never, people were like, did you cry when you gave birth? I was like, no, I was looking at him like, oh, I got to take you home. We gotta figure this. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We had a baby and now we, okay. Got it. Cool. Now I can like tear up though at like the things that he does now. He's so affectionate. And he really like, I'm like, is your love language physical touch at this young age? Mm-hmm. Because he really is like such a cuddler. Mm-hmm. Like when I change his diaper, he gets up and gives me a hug and it'll be like a 2-minute hug. And I'm like, all right, we're sitting here. Cool. We're here. So that has been helpful for me to be able to embrace that about him. Mm-hmm. And also just know that he's not a mini me. Mm-hmm. And he's not a mini Willie. He's not a mini like mom or dad. He's his mm-hmm. himself.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny you say with the affection. I have 3 girls. My oldest is 14.
Oh,
I have 3 girls. Yes. Oldest just turned 14. I have twins who are 11.
Oh my God. God bless you.
Thanks.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
Has the oldest gotten her period yet?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Oh, yes, ma'am. And you know, when they say you sync up, I'm like, oh, so we both gonna be bitchy at the same time. Awesome.
Oh.
And you know, the 11-year-olds ain't far behind. I'm like, damn it. Okay. But when you talk about the affectionate thing, it's so interesting because I am not.
Okay.
Everyone in my house is. I'm like, you're so funny, Jesus. Like, what the hell is
right.
this?
Right. Right.
It's forced, not forced, but it's allowed me to stretch and to be more affectionate and loving. Like at first, it was like they had to ask for hugs. I'm like, hugs.
Wow.
Like I just don't like it, and that was another thing that made me start to look at my own issue. Like, is that true?
Right.
Like, what is that? Wow. You know. But now it's like I will offer a hug. It's like, oh, mommy's giving us a hug. I'm like, God damn. You know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kids. I think that kids can make you check yourself to check. Something like there was something that I saw that was like the thing that your child does that like drives you crazy was the thing that you missed as a child.
Mm.
It was like the thing that it was the disconnect for you,
mm-hmm.
like when you were growing up. So there's a lot of things that it's like, sometimes I'll say something to him and I'm like, God, that sounds like a black ass mother. And then other times I'll be like, but there's like trauma in that. Like, if I keep saying this to you, it's not going to,
mm-hmm.
you know? So yeah. It's made me work.
Mm-hmm.
Motherhood makes you work to heal your child, you as a child, so that you don't pass it on to them.
Yes.
For sure. Yes.
Being a good parent is a lot of work.
It's so hard. It's so hard. And my mom is like, you're so patient with him because he is just, he is. And now he's in the, mama, what's that? Mama, why? Mm. Mama, what's this? What's that? And I'm like, boy, you know this is my nose. But I'm, you know, it's like, but it allows me to really, he allows me to slow down.
Yes.
And yes. And 3 girls, like, oh my, I.
And I wanted all boys because the universe knows what, because I wanted to still but be.
God knows what you want. God knows what you need.
Exactly. I'm like, I can roughhouse them. I ain't got to be doing all this huggy, girly shit. I ain't got to do none of that.
See, and then you thought that you wouldn't have to do it, but my child, he's so damn affectionate. Yep.
Girl, you're just like, hold my beer. There you go.
Yes. Yeah. So I do have a question for you,
yeah.
And we'll like wrap up, is that pole dancing
mm-hmm.
after babies, you didn't know what it was like before. So like I pole danced before, you know, having a baby and then coming back to it. And I was like, oh my God, you have to be really strong to do this because I felt like I was just starting from the bottom. But, you know, we all have like the mom body thing. And like, did you, was it hard to, just tell me the things, like.
So this is interesting. So prior to kids, like I've had a, like I said, a weird relationship. Prior to kids, I was all about the waist. You know, I was the smallest I ever was. Mm-hmm. I have struggled with an eating disorder even through pregnancy. Wow. I have had bulimia. Like I was pregnant and throwing up. You know, that's how distorted my relationship was with my body. So after my kids, I snapped back pretty quickly because I forced it, right? I forced myself to do it. Like I was doing all of the things, the laxatives, everything else. The fact that I was able to nurse, this is how my oldest weaned. My milk turned to dust because I started fasting when she was 14 months. And she was like, ain't no milk in these titties. I'm like, oh, damn, my bad.
Gosh.
It didn't even click to me because I had her when I was 27, I believe, that me fasting would affect my milk. I didn't even think of her. I was thinking of, ooh, I need to get skinny again. Ooh, this, I'm fat. I don't like this. What's the quickest way to get rid of this?
Wow. Fat. Did you, looking back, do you have like guilt about that? Like, and did you over the guilt?
At one point I did, but I have so much compassion for who I was back then. Wow. Because woo, chat.
God, that's so beautiful.
I have so much compassion because I remember like, it was so, yes, we have to have compassion. Like I was the chick who was sucking in my stomach.
What about that?
Yeah, compassion. Like who were you and what was your mindset that you were willing to do those things? What was going on, babe?
Wow.
You know?
Wow.
I didn't even enjoy sex because I was sucking in my stomach. Like, ooh, girl.
Oh my goodness.
I was sucking my stomach, like, ooh, don't touch me right there. Mm-mm. I'm like, ooh, now, girl, it was bad. It was really, really bad. Yeah.
So when did you start to embrace your body?
Shit, I'm still embracing, like just real talk. I think I finally, I got therapy, first of all.
Therapist. Everybody.
Right. And everyone ain't good because I've had a couple of shitty ones. So mm-hmm. There's that as well. But I was in a space where the therapist at the time was very much allowing me to just be. She just held the space. I just got all of the shit out, you know? And I divorced my ex-husband. So that too. That part. And I just began to cultivate a relationship. Like me now, like I call my body baby girl because that changes the language.
Right.
You know, because it's like, I can't be like, ooh, baby girl, you fucked up. I'm like, that don't even sound right. Like I can't.
Talk to your body like you would talk to a friend. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. But I just really wanted to model because I have three girls. I had to be careful with my language. If mommy's always talking about she's on a diet, because I remember my mom always was on a diet, eating a damn hard egg and a piece of dry ass bread. And I'm like, I don't want to replicate.
And they didn't even realize that it carried on to us.
Not a clue.
They never realized that it carried to us. Because I remember seeing the Slim Fast, and I remember seeing, you know, the diet on the refrigerator and saying she always was like, oh, this belly. Oh, I got to get rid of this. Oh, yes. All the time. And they don't even realize that they're saying it and it's we hear it.
Yes.
And our biggest influences are our parents, and especially girls are our mothers growing up. So, yeah. Of course, I didn't like my stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
That part.
You know, and it's true to like speak love into your body so that your children can hear it and they will understand what it's like to speak love into their bodies. Yeah. Cause we're their biggest role models. Yeah.
Yeah. So it started with me doing it for them. I wasn't even doing it for myself at first. I'm like, you gotta be mindful of how you say it, because if you say it like this out loud, they gonna think this. So I might've been having the thoughts internally, but I wouldn't allow myself to say them out loud. And eventually I began to embody what I was projecting to them. Like, let me stop faking. Like, this is I don't like this fake shit. So how can I make this real for me? And pole was one of those things. Let me be uncomfortable. Let me go in there with some little booty ass shorts and my stomach out. And I'm in a class where we all like, girl, ooh, I love them shorts. Ooh, your booty do it. So, so that's
the thing about the pool community.
Yes. You know, so I was uncomfortable. That's how I started.
Wow. And now pole is.
Now I'm strong. I can climb the top of pole. And I'm like, look at me. You know, look at me planking, bitch. I couldn't do this for you, God.
Oh my God. I love it. Oh my God. I love that. I love that. Yes. Yeah, it is. It's a different animal. It's a different ball game. And I'm like, that just makes me very happy that you,
I love it,
are able to do the switch. And yeah, it just makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. I got a pole in my basement. Like, they know how much I love pole. That's what I got for my Mother's Day gift. He like, I'm gonna put a pole in the basement. That was my Mother's Day gift. And he ain't never had no show. He was like, you gonna show me what you did? Hell no. I'm about to look at this video and be like, ooh, girl, you did good there. Oh, next time you need to point your toes. This ain't for you, boo.
I love it. I love it. Yes, so, it's time for the Get 'Em Goals. And the Get 'Em Goal is a goal that the guest gives the listeners to follow for the week. And then hopefully that Get 'Em Goal turns into a life goal for them. So, what is something that you want to tell the listeners to as a goal that they will turn into a lifestyle goal?
Ooh, I love that. You know, the therapist and me come out now like, ooh, okay. So my Get 'Em Goal is to begin having a conversation with your inner child. Begin having a conversation with that inner little girl and ask her, one of the first things I want you to ask her is, what delights her?
I'm gonna do this today.
What delights her?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That is so beautiful. Oh my God, that's so perfect.
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Because that from there starts the, starts that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I would say to my teenage self.
Girl, yeah. I'm like, what was she doing? Like, she was a mess. She was a mess.
That. Okay. All right. Oh my God. This has been monumentally amazing. I'm so, so glad that we got to talk. And I'm so glad that you got to ask me questions too.
Yes, that was amazing.
I'm here for it.